Good morning, everybody. It's Emily here from the Willow Pod, and this morning we've got with us Dana from Derbyshire Wish, and Dana's a domestic abuse support worker and an advert. Hi, Dana.
Hi, Emily. How are you doing?
Good, thank you. I've just realised I've said good morning. It's actually the afternoon.
It feels like the morning though, doesn't it?
It does. And it's absolutely gorgeous here where I'm recording, and it looks like it is where you are as well.
Yes, it's a lovely sunny day today.
So are you all ready for this hot weather?
Well, yes. I mean, we get it every year, don't we? So we should be.
Yeah, at some point, not necessarily in the summer, but we do get the hot weather. Anyway, less of the weather. So you're a domestic abuse support worker. So what does a day's work look like for you?
Okay, so I manage 6 dispersed properties with families in the properties. So I could be going out to see the families and supporting them with whatever they need. They could have housing issues, so we would make a housing application for them. We could just go around for a chit chat, emotional support, things like that. And then I've also got clients on community support where I support them mainly over the phone. But if they do want to meet up face to face on occasions, then we can facilitate that as well. So our office is based in our main refuge, so we have residents in the refuge that we see on a daily basis. They're not necessarily my clients, but we can support them, and we all support those people while we're here with anything that they need. For example, this morning one of the residents wanted to go to the food bank, so I took her down to the food bank where she did a little bit of volunteering this morning.
Oh, lovely.
And so that was really nice that, you know, we're including them in the area and getting to know the area and what's around and things like that. So it's quite varied.
Very varied. And I guess that volunteering that lady's done helps rebuild a bit of confidence as well, doesn't it?
It absolutely does, because when people generally come into the refuge, it's in a completely different area to where they've fled from. They haven't got the networks around, they haven't got any friendships. It's difficult for them to build friendships because the location has to be kept discreet and secret. Mm-hmm. So that's also a barrier for them getting to know different people and making new friends. But we have got organisations around that we're linked with, and we work with closely, that can help. And the food bank in our area are really good with including people, being discreet about where they're from. And this morning when I took this lady down to the food bank, another person was there who was also from our refuge about 2 years ago. Yeah. And she's been going, and she was just telling me how it helped her. And she's got so many friends. She's part of the church. She does gardening group. And it honestly made my heart burst to see her. And now she'll be able to support the new lady that's gone down. And it was just wonderful.
Oh, that's so lovely. That's so lovely to hear. Because you don't think of that when somebody leaves an abusive relationship and has to start again. Friendships is probably the last thing that you might think of when you're leaving. You're going to be thinking about money and where do I live and work, but not the friendships, I would have thought.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, they find it difficult to trust people again. They don't want to, you know, speak about things that have happened. They're traumatized. They're very fragile and delicate. So, but we all need people, don't we? And friendships and people are what gets us through in life.
Absolutely. So you said you supervise some dispersed properties. Are they rural properties?
Yes, they are rural properties.
So I guess that can be hard because, as we know, rurally everything's a bit more spaced out and you probably don't get to see as many people in a normal working day because you do it spending a lot of time in the car.
Yes, that's right. And a lot of, I'd say about 80% of people that come into the rural properties don't drive. And as we know, rurally, the public transport is a lot different to transport in the city. And it's more expensive, it's less frequent, and you haven't got the options of going to many places. So people can feel quite isolated when they're in a rural property. The dispersed houses that we've got, some aren't near shops. So, you know, if they have any disabilities, if they have problems with mobility, that can be very difficult. Just normal things like getting shopping and, you know, accessing shops and amenities can be quite challenging.
And being in Derbyshire, everywhere's on a hill.
So, oh, yeah.
So, you know, if you start off going down, you're going to have to walk back at the end. Or...
Yes.
You've seen our film, The Willows, haven't you?
Yes, I have, yes.
Did you think that was an accurate representation of excusing the end? Because as we know, it's quite unlikely, really, that a victim will just stand and say, that's it, no, I'm leaving, in public like that. But we did have to end the film somehow. But other than that, do you think that's a good representation of what a victim who lives in a rural area might experience?
I honestly do, yes. I thought you represented it quite well. I like the fact that, well, I didn't like the fact, but the fact that the man drove the woman to the school, waited for her, that happens a lot. The father of the perpetrator and his beliefs and where they came from, that was really a good representation of rural life. And yes, I thought it was very well done.
Oh, good. Thank you. I mean, it's lovely to hear that, but I'm glad that it shows an accurate representation as well.
It's quite subtle, wasn't it? That, you know, the underpinning lines and the subtle abuse, like when she came back, she went to take the child in and she was a bit longer because she was speaking to the women at the school and he asked her who she was talking to when she came back and she had to account for the time and things like that. I mean, some people, they do think domestic abuse is just a man thumping a woman and physical. It isn't. It's a lot of control and coercive control and harassment, stalking, things like that are not seen. You can't see that on a bruise on somebody's face, can you?
No, and absolutely, to say to another person, well, he was asking me who I was talking to, that on its own doesn't sound abusive, but it's the tone and what's implied and the looks, isn't it?
Yeah, and being accountable, you know, we shouldn't be accountable to anybody but ourselves.
No.
Or questioned or, you know... And we second guess ourselves, don't we, when we're asked certain questions and interrogated.
Yeah, and that's what she was, bless her, in the film, interrogated.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So whilst we're talking about perpetrators, obviously the perpetrator in our film, Peter, is, well, we don't know what's going to happen to him moving forward. But at Derbyshire Wish, you deliver perpetrator programmes, don't you?
Yes, we do. We're in the process now of getting it up and running and we are able to take referrals for those programmes. So it's about really just working with other organisations, getting ourselves out there, making it known that we do the perpetrator programmes. They're not postcode or area specific. They are delivered in Ilkeston. So the perpetrator doesn't have to live in that area, but as long as they can get to Ilkeston. And we're doing internal referrals and external referrals as well.
Can a person who maybe recognises some behaviours in themselves, can they self-refer?
Yes, you can self-refer. Yes, I've actually sat on a session and I found it really interesting, and it's very well-written course.
Oh,
And
brilliant.
yeah, I think it's really good that we're able to offer this service, and I think it will have that preventative measure.
Because that's the only way things are going to change, isn't it? Is trying to change the behaviours of perpetrators, isn't it?
Yes, that's right. That's right. I totally agree.
So I will make sure that we've got information about how to refer to the perpetrator programmes and all the contact details. I'll make sure we put those accompanying the podcast. So if anybody does want to access that, they can do so. So when you're working with the perpetrator, what support is there for the victims?
So we have a partnership worker that works with the victims of the perpetrators who are on the course. They will be supported with whatever they need. So that person works closely with the victim.
And do you offer the Freedom Programme?
Yes, we do offer the Freedom Programme. I facilitate the Freedom Programme and the Freedom Forward Programme. And I've got three programmes running at the moment.
Maybe I ought to come down and see if I can sit in on one of those. That would be really interesting. Not to record it, just to...
Yes, that'd be absolutely perfect, Emily, if you wanted to do that. We do it on Teams, because we find that that works better. It's less time consuming. You don't have to get a venue. You know, people can do it in the safety and the comfort of their own homes or in the cars. And it's been working really well. We've had some really good success stories from it.
There has been some good things come out of COVID, hasn't there?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. This absolutely. Move onto Teams and Zoom. It has helped some people.
Yes, it's something I wasn't comfortable with at first, but, you know, just seeing the benefits from it is really good.
Thank you so much for talking to us today, Dana. I'm hoping that we might be able to have another chat with you in the future and talk about some of the other programmes you're doing, but it's been lovely to speak to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Emily. It's been lovely to speak to you too.
Bye.
Bye.